We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A man who is the king and the policeman of the bike lanes in New York City, former NHL player.
No, I am not an Islander fan. I am not a freaking Islander fan. Just relax. Just thinking I'm an Islander fan now that because of Mets and everything else. And I get to school. So, look, sure. I'm rooting for Matt. It's kind of a weird thing, Sean. You know, those guys play softball with us, Casey, Cizikas, and Cal Clutterbuck. I saw you getting on Casey also on your Instagram.
I mean,
what is wrong with you?
By the way, we're talking to Sean Avery. Yes. Sean Avery, so people who are not confused. Yes. What's up, Sean?
How you guys doing?
Great, man.
Good. You know, my Instagram is taking on a whole new life. But yesterday I'm walking down in Tribeca, going to the Tribeca Film Festival.
Of course you are.
And this guy now that I'm like active on it, everything's a gif. This guy just appears with his Islander jersey and he's got his white sneakers on. He looks like a, you know, he's a sanitation guy or something. It's his big Sunday. And who does he run into?
You.
But me. So we have a little exchange. But what's amazing, he took a real barb at me when he said, I said, who's on the back of your jersey? And he said, oh, it's a real hockey player. And at the time, I didn't really get it.
Yes.
And then now my followers are like, you didn't hear it. I didn't hear it at the time.
Right.
And so I kind of gave him a pass and said, Cizikas is a bomber, a little shit or something.
Oh, you can't say that. We're not on Spit and Chicklets.
Oh, yeah, right.
We're not on your Instagram.
Right,
we are
right.
Actually on live radio.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's over the air. Right, exactly. Jesus.
No, listen, the bike lanes.
Yeah, I mean, what is going on with you?
Right.
Like, you are the bike lane monitor in this city. By the way, you know, a lot of people think that's a dumb idea to have bike lanes in New York City, by the way.
I was in Amsterdam.
Yes.
You want to talk about a comfortable life?
Yeah.
Bikes have their own lanes. They have their own highways that are, like, above the road, and everybody yields to bikers.
Not here.
Do you think people are going to do? This is like we're talking about environment and the Bronx woman, OKC
AOC.
AOC.
Yeah, we don't even talk
whatever.
About that. Really.
I mean,
obviously, you could use her to defend your way of thinking.
We pay taxes. We're New Yorkers.
We pay a lot of taxes.
We should be able to bike in a bike lane without fearing for our life on a daily basis.
And I know, and you are like the hall monitor for the bike lane, which I think I love. And when you start yelling at people, what comes back your way?
So it's a very interesting, it's like, think about what I did for a living for a long time was in a split second, I make a decision like, okay, we're going to fight. Me, mono to mono, we're going to fight.
Right.
The average person, the initial thing when I come hollering and screeching to a stop, they are in absolute shock. First, they don't know what's going on, like it's a hidden camera show. Then they quickly realize what I'm talking about. But then there's that moment of like, they see it in my eyes. They're never going to get out and do anything. It's never going to turn violent. Mm-hmm. So some guys will brace themselves and I'll see them. They'll dig their heels down on the ground and then they'll, you know, we'll exchange profanities and then you perfect. Go on your way, which was always sort of my romantic thought of New York City, that was something you were able to do.
Right, just scream at each other,
right.
And that's it.
You saw it in the movies.
Yeah, moment in time, and then it's over.
Right.
Does this sort of fill the void, because you've always been an agitator, you've been someone who's, so now that you don't have that on the ice, this sort of is what that was to you then, right?
I am slowly starting to realize how cathartic and therapeutic it is for me, because this is my release.
Yeah.
I can get it out, and there's no question that, you know, that's a thing with us.
Yeah,
when we're done playing,
like, you need something to
you
fill
have
that
to
void.
List yeah. you there's it's no coincidence
so
why guys are
happy.
Getting in trouble.
Right.
I mean, I leave and I wish they weren't.
Okay.
Ultimately, because I could just go on my day freely. But there's some sort of little smile I get when I leave that encounter. Like, you know, I did my job.
Well, you certainly did your job as far as I'm concerned, because I enjoy it. I look forward to it.
Right.
To the point where you were saying last week, like I think you said in your, I'm lit today.
Right, right.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Right.
I'm all in.
Right,
I'm all in for what's going to be a wild day on my Instagram account.
Right.
And not only to say that, I mean, you took it out on Islander fans when John Tavares came back.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I mean, you went off.
No, and I was upset. I was actually upset. Like, it takes a lot to get me out of my seat where I'm saying this is not right. When I saw the video and I saw them throw the jersey at him,
yeah,
that was it. That was it. Like, my wires crossed. It was like bike lane times a million.
Yes.
And I went to my little spot in front of my apartment, which I always, that's my spot. I go to it. Now I'm starting to get blown up because people are waiting there for me when
oh,
I go
really?
Outside. Yeah. So I got, know. Anyways. They threw a jersey at, they were throwing stuff
well,
at
they burned
him.
A jersey out in the, line, in like, the that was, parking
and
lot.
And you know what? Part of that is management and Lou, obviously me and Lou have a little bit of a history.
Yeah, yes, I know you do with Marty Brodeur and everybody else. Yes.
But if they had to set the tone and it was John Tavares coming back and there was going to be a video tribute and it was going to be a special night, that stuff in the parking lot wouldn't have happened and it wouldn't have happened inside the rink. But they didn't do that. And that sort of set the tone of like, they were quietly going along with, let's torture this guy tonight.
Right.
And I would have taken John Tavares' head off when I played against him. Mm-hmm. But when I saw that, I thought it could have been handled
and
better.
And then when you saw the guy screaming at him when he was in the penalty box, you went off on that guy.
You know how many of those idiots I listened to over my career? Like, they just have no flow and rhythm. It's more upsetting that you are a bumbling fool instead of you didn't work on your material at home. You knew you were going to get this opportunity, chances are. And then you get on the big moment in the stage and you got somebody filming who you've set up, obviously, to film. And you blow it. You blow it. It was just like a diarrhea rant of, do you think... Did he really think John Tavares, who makes $367,000 every 2 weeks, was going to be rattled by this guy? I mean, you got to have something good ready for
him. Well, you know, the thing about John Tavares is that he would never, ever cross the line. Well, you got to know who he is.
Right, right.
Right. He is your atypical superstar NHL player who's not going to get himself embroiled in any sort of controversy.
Never. We'll never say, I never heard him say a word.
Right. And he just was always a professional.
Yeah.
He's always led his team. He was always the captain, a good example. So your boy John Tortorella's got his Columbus Blue Jackets right in the mix of these things.
Yeah.
How do you think those players are enjoying their time with Johnny T these days?
I mean, listen, it's like Brad Richards used to say, the first 3 years were a honeymoon, and then everything kind of went downhill after that. I'll quote the great Brad Richards. I mean, listen, they're playing well. The goalie made a save the other night that was sick. Out of control, this save that he made. They got a good team. I don't know if they can... Boston's a... I hate Boston. I hate Boston. I hate Boston.
Is that because you're from Toronto or...
No, I just... You know, I don't like... They got some players that I don't like. Marchand wasn't really like, when I was still playing, he was still kind of young and he wasn't making.
And he was a fourth line player.
Right. He you kind of looked at him like, I'm sure some guys looked at me
mm-hmm.
when I was younger.
Right.
So I didn't get my opportunity to lay a licking on him,
mm-hmm.
but I wish I had have. He's turned into a hell of a player. They're a pesky team. These pesky bees, I guess they call them.
Talking to Sean Avery on the Fan CBS Sports Network. Guys like you fascinate me because it seems exhausting to be you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's always the next thing, the next encounter or whatever, but yet you need that and you feed off of it. And it's almost like if you didn't have that stuff, you wouldn't be yourself. So do you ever think about like not being you? Like, can you ever have a different personality? You think like when you're 60 years old, you're still going to be looking for the next scuffle.
There's definitely moments in the week, you know, or the month, maybe there's a handful of times where I say to myself, oh man, is it really worth it? And then it's just a fleeting moment. It's like the wind passing you just hits me in the right place. And then something happens and I snap out of it.
Yeah.
And I just put my head down and I go back into like attack mode.
But you're a happy person overall.
Absolutely.
You would say, which is another part of it. You're living your dream. Yeah. You're a fashion guy. You're by the way, fashion icon wearing a denim jacket. I might add because I get crap about my denim jacket.
Oh, you're right.
You're not a fashion icon.
I know I'm not, but I'm trying to follow in their footsteps.
He hangs out with Anna Wintour.
I understand, but I mean, you're living the dream. You're in New York City. You're doing everything you've ever wanted. But yet that's still that part of you that's like, oh, man, you just get annoyed so easily.
Yeah, I mean, because I am always going to miss the gridiron of it. There's no question of that. Right. That's
the competitive
like,
stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, I could go to a gym and start boxing. I mean, I don't know. I think boxing is just...
MMA? How about an MMA?
You know, that's interesting. I see it. I mean, that Greg Hardy.
Yes. Yeah, but he beat up some tool the other day. I mean, not that I would get into that ring and
I
wouldn't want to do that.
No, I would never get in the ring with Greg Hardy. I mean, he looks just like an animal killer. But trust me, there's days where I wish that somebody would get out of this car in the bike lane. And we would just take our jackets off like men calmly and just go at it.
Do you ever worry about a guy pulling out a gun and shooting you?
No, in a crazy way, I feel like if I got shot, it would just kind of be like a flesh wound. And it would sort of bounce off me.
That actually would add to your reputation.
Right,
that would be awesome.
And then I could sue the city.
Right. How come you don't do like any hockey analysis? I know you go on with those guys who spit in chiclets, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this kind of, because nobody has been smart enough to ask me.
Or to figure out where to put you, right?
Right.
Now, when you hear Mike Milbury do a game.
I mean, it is so painful. It is so painful.
I wasn't trying to
hear him speak.
Okay.
It's like, and the other funny thing is that every NHLer generation 10 years ago, 15 years ago, today, we think Mike Milbury is the biggest buffoon on the...
I wasn't trying to get you to say that.
No, I mean, he knows... He's just... Look what he did. His record. He's... Oh, God, I can't...
Wasn't he a lot like you when he played, though?
I mean, I don't even know if they had TVs when he played. Yeah. So I
actually climbed up into the stands of Madison Square Garden.
But that I never did.
No, but I mean, he was an edgy, like a
he was player. Soft. I've heard stories that he was soft.
Well, he plays it as if he was edgy. And all that
he
other
pretends
stuff.
Like he was a real tough guy, but
I don't feel like he believes what he says. That's the problem.
I don't think he even knows. I think he hears his thing is okay. Somebody just said something on the other side of the desk, so I have to say the complete opposite thing. He's like Francesa. I'll just say the complete opposite thing, but I'll lean into it so much that some people are going to believe that it's true. Is this the Francesa network?
Yeah, well, it's not the network, but it is. He works here.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'll take it to the Mike Francesa studio right next door.
I did one interview with him.
Okay.
When I got to the range. I wish we could find it because I was like, do you know anything? I asked him, do you know anything about hockey? Because he kept talking about the Yankees or something during our interview. And I was like, who is this guy? I just got into New York. I didn't know he was the king of New York.
The sports pope.
Sports pope.
Yes. Yeah.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. No, you know what? Nobody's ever asked me. And I guess they're probably afraid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, is it because of your reputation
and
that they think you're going to go cross the line?
I mean, I'm going to all of a sudden I'm a lunatic and I don't understand that I have a job.
I feel like if Fox had hockey, they'd hire you in a heartbeat because they hire every controversial
guy in the
world.
You think ESPN, somebody at some young producer at ESPN would be smart enough, like, because I am a ratings magnet. I'm seeing my Instagram. If I want to today,
you sound like Mike Francesa.
No, but this is true. Today, if I go out for the next 2 hours and do bike lane videos, I'll have 15,000 new followers.
I
by
hope
the
you
end
do
of the
because
day.
I think your bike lane videos are priceless.
Right?
Yeah. They are awesome.
I mean, I'm up. It's early. It's 9:15. You got me fired up.
Yes.
Chances are good that I'm going to get out of here and something's going down.
Well, I'm sure they will. We're talking to the great Sean Ivory. I say great, depending on where.
GRATE.
Right. He's grading. You know, here's the deal. You can't yell at UPS guys.
Why?
You know, those guys got
so careless,
but they got such an impossible job, man.
They have an impossible job. They can park anywhere in New York City. They have no repercussions. UPS pays for it.
Okay.
They leave their idling cars, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw the New York Post today.
Yes.
There's a DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection in New York City. They have this whole hidden network that I just found out about where you can report a citizen's air complaint and you get paid once that person gets a ticket. So if you find an idling car in New York City,
right,
you take a video, you fill out this form, you send it in, and you get 25% of the ticket once they ticket this vehicle.
Wow, Al, this sounds like something right up your alley.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, Al, our producer,
he's the ultimate narc.
He narks on everybody at his condo. He lives in an over 50 condo. If somebody doesn't put like the recycling in the right area, he reports them.
I love that. Yes. I love that. So, you know, I've got a new revenue stream. There's guys that are it's on.
All right, so what else are you doing other than just like being a pest in New York City?
I am a struggling New York City actor who goes to audition after audition.
Really?
After
like what type of stuff?
Everything. I mean,
Broadway
and... No, film and television mostly.
All right.
So yeah, if I'm not making bike lane videos, I'm either trying to memorize lines for an audition or
so what would be like your dream job, like your dream role? I'm trying to picture you and what you'd want to be.
I see him in a cop uniform.
You know what? You know what I just auditioned for, which is a great part. The remaking The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Great movie. Wow. Ensemble. I need like my Chris Pratt Zero Dark Thirty role.
Yeah. Right. Right. Of
where
course.
You can just, you know,
work your way in, really, your little bit part, and then all of a sudden you move up to be a big time star.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's kind of I'm an artiste.
I'm in
acting classes, and I sit in audition rooms while some guy's beside me mouthing his lines, like, and he doesn't think that everyone else in the audition room can hear him. What do you think that does to me? Like, I want to just pick him up and throw him out the window.
Sure, you do. This guy, I can't even imagine. You use the subway in New York City.
Oh yeah,
you do.
Oh, every
I'm
day.
Sure that you've never run into anything down there.
I mean,
that would just set you off.
No, you have no idea what happens to me below ground. I mean, I get videos sent to me by people that saw me on the subway. They were on a car and they saw what just happened.
Right.
Anytime I see somebody make another person feel uncomfortable on the subway, I will either physically remove them from a car or I will scare them so much that they will get off the car at the next immediate stop. Or if they're brave enough, they'll go through the subway cars, which I don't normally do.
Nobody wants to do that.
But sometimes it happens.
So you're like a subway superhero.
The subway is, you know, it's disgusting.
Yeah, right. Yep, which is worse, below ground or above ground?
Below ground is just filth.
Yeah.
Filth.
Some guy had a hatchet there yesterday. He was about to start hatcheting.
I'll tell you one thing though. I've never seen something really go down where I can just like unleash.
I saw the Avengers,
like the Hulk, like my coat is off and I'm coming to the rescue of somebody.
Yeah.
I've never been lucky enough for that to happen. I don't want to wish that happens because then somebody's obviously been hurt.
Right.
But a slasher or anything that I can.
It was a guy kicking a grandma.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That would have been your spot, right?
It would have been on, man.
Right.
Because I get to do whatever I want in that situation.
You know the guy kicking the grandmother? He was a dishwasher down here at a Tribeca restaurant.
Right. It was a nice,
How does that what makes somebody do that?
Right, and then the crazy thing, he gives the shout out to the hip hop Instagram,
right? Yeah,
on the
world,
way out,
world star, yeah.
World star me,
yeah. Right,
that was, you know, if he had have done that, and I was on that subway car,
right?
The moment that I think, like, am I going to now get charged for? That's where it gets a little hairy.
Yeah.
Like, when am I going to get arrested?
Because there's no one there to stop it.
I'm killing this guy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. No one's coming in.
That's the dangerous thing. But no, the subway is wild in New York City.
Talking to Sean Avery, who's the guy that you played against that even after all these years, his name comes up, you see his face, and you want to just strangle it?
There was a guy by the name of Darcy Hordachuk who he played in Florida, then he played in Nashville. He was out of his mind. Like, this guy was you know, I'm not going to say anything to get myself sued, but he was the type of guy where you look into his eyes and he's so amped up on something that you just don't trust what's going to come out of his hand or mouth or stick at the, any given moment. And that was the guy, and he jumped me once in when I was playing in LA for Nashville. And like, he was a heavyweight. I never fought heavyweights. Let's just be
you
clear about
stay in your lane.
Right, right. Yes. Like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not punch drunk now. I decided that if I was going to fight, I was going to take the least amount of punches as possible. Darcy Hordichuk was a monster, and he scared the living bejesus out of me. But he was the worst player, maybe one of the worst players I've ever seen in the NHL.
He was just there for one thing.
Like, he couldn't stick handle, he couldn't cross over. It was like, he was bad.
When you think of your NHL career, I mean, where was it the most memorable? Was it here in New York?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the way the fans responded to you and when you left and then you came back and the way they responded to you.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a game, I don't know, it was one of the last regular season games. It was the first time like I've gone back to a game and they put me on the Jumbotron. Right. And yeah, I mean, listen, I was a Ranger. That was it. Mm-hmm. It started with Tom Rennie. It was the first coach really that kind of just said, let's just let this guy go and see what happens.
Yes.
And, you know, we had Yager and Shanahan, which were, I think Tom was smart enough to know, like, we have guys on this team that can police him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what good coaches do. And I think Trotz does that. I think he's a guy that does
for
that.
For the Islanders now, yeah.
For the Islanders now. You know, there's some of these guys. The guys that played the game that end up coaching, they're just smarter.
Right.
They just get it. You know.
Yeah, of course. The same in every sport.
Right.
And some guys have a way to connect with players and other guys have a way of just moving players away. For whatever reason, it's just probably more personality driven. Can you stay for another segment?
Yeah.
We'd love to have you for one more
segment.
Yeah,
let's
great.
Do it.
The great Sean Avery in studio with Boomer and Geo here coming to you from the Investors Bank studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Another 10 minutes or so with Sean Avery, who is with us in studio.
Can I ask one hockey question?
Yeah, I was gonna do that just now. Ask him about the Islanders being down 2-0. And going back to Carolina, what you've seen in this series, if you believe that they still have a good shot to come back and win the thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, get his microphone. There we go.
I think that so one thing we're seeing more than ever right now is the parity amongst the league. You see these teams are filled with guys that are all under the age of 28. You can shift a series with one game quickly, and I don't think that there's the intimidation factor of like going into Carolina. Carolina is not really a tough building to play in, even with this whole thing that they're doing, and they've got the fans, and it's not like going into the Coliseum.
Yeah.
By the way, that's the other thing. Yeah. Why are we not talking about the fact that like the Islanders just lost two games at Barclays?
Yeah, I mean, we have been. I mean,
oh, you have.
We've been screaming.
We tried to call Ledecky and Bettman and scream at them, put these games at the Coliseum, and they're all ducking
what
us.
What a stupid decision. And the team should be, like, they should go on the road and win two games now just because they're pissed off that they had to play at Barclays for the first two.
Yeah.
I mean, the Coliseum, say what you will about it, and I've said, oh, it's a dump.
But it's their dump.
It's their dump, yes. And they feel great playing there, and they're close to home. And I said, why do you think that didn't have a factor in Tavares leaving? Hmm. Look at the situation they're in. They're like nomads. They're like, where are they? I think they can go into Carolina and win two games. I just do. Barzal's got to get going.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll
he's got to get
a
going.
He's a terrific player, though.
Yeah.
Man. You can really see that. So did you see the Devin Taves kicked in goal yesterday off the skate?
Yeah.
How do you kick a goal, a puck, into the net from behind the net?
I mean, well, you can't really.
I mean, do you agree with the rule? Do you agree with the way that it you can take a look at it here? He actually, the puck comes off of his skate. He's 3 feet behind the end line or the goal line.
Because I guess, yeah. No, that is a goal. There's no question it's a goal. How do you do it? I don't know how you do it.
But they called it, they said no goal. They said that was
a goal. That's a goal because it's not a forward motion towards the net. Hmm. It just, it's, it. That's the rule. And I don't know what's happening today, if they're getting heat over it.
Right.
Or if it's the ref's decision under his
I think they're going by the letter of the law and the wording. I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't kick the puck into the net. He kicked it back towards the net.
Right.
And it went off the goaltender.
So if he was in the corner and he kicked it to the front of the net and it hit a defender and then went in.
Yes.
Would they have, they probably then would have allowed it because it wasn't so.
So what off the defender?
Right. But there's no difference between a defender and a goalie.
That's what I'm saying.
They're the same player.
I don't understand how, I don't know, maybe I'm just, to me.
No, that is a that was a terrible call. And who is that ref?
Who knows? But they also went back to Toronto and they reviewed it and and they said no.
I don't know. Who's reviewing it? George Peros?
I think so. That's one of your buddies, right?
Oh, my God.
who's the worst official? Who's the worst ref?
This Boston kid. What's his name? He's a Boston guy.
He doesn't do Boston games, does he? It's not Kelly Sutherland. It's not one of those guys.
No. God, it'll come to me.
I don't know all the referees off the top of my head.
They're not very good.
None of them are good.
You can see what happens when the ice starts to shift too much in one team's favor.
Right.
They'll make a call, that's not the way it should be. If a team's just thumping a team and thumping a team, don't let the other team back in the game because it's too one-sided.
So what happened between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks at the end of the game where Vegas is up 3-0, a 5-minute major is handed to Vegas. So San Jose now has a 5-minute major penalty, and they score 4 power play goals.
I mean, I would – well, it wasn't a penalty.
In the first place, it shouldn't have been called anyway.
And then you know, so this is the weird thing. Like a 5-minute major, you don't need blood. But a 4-minute penalty, you need to have blood. Think about how stupid of a rule that is.
Yeah, right.
You can get a 5-minute major stick infraction for no blood, but for 4 minutes, you have to have blood. So now this ref has the ability to call a 5-minute major because he thinks that it was a 5-minute major when it didn't even hit the guy. There's
right.
no blood. And you've just cost an organization, I don't know, $10 million?
At least that and an opportunity to win the cup.
Right, obviously. Right. I was selfishly thinking just about the money, but yeah.
But then when you selfishly think about the money, that's why the Islanders play at the Barclays Center because they have the Sky Suites, the bigger, you know, they get more fans in there.
Well, that's what they thought was going to be more money.
Right.
But what they didn't realize is nobody goes.
Well, for the playoff games, they'll go, not for the regular season. Look, I'm a big advocate of the Nassau cause. I'm a Nassau County resident.
Right.
And I wanted the Islanders to be there, and I still believe they should be there, and I'm not a big proponent of the new building, the Belmont.
Right.
I just, like, we need another building around here.
Well,
we need more bike lanes. We like less buildings and more bike lanes.
We need more bike lanes. We need the Islanders to stay at the Coliseum.
Can you do me a favor with these bike lanes and all this other crap? You know, the delivery people, they go the wrong way on the road. I don't know how many times I've almost been hit in the street in New York by a delivery person going the wrong way.
Yeah, I think I've made my decision with your help today that I'm going to start a Instagram campaign going after Grubhub, Seamless, Caviar, because they don't educate their drivers. It would be like Uber giving you an Uber license and saying, oh, by the way, you don't have to go the right way down the highway. You can go the complete opposite direction. It's fine. So Grubhub, Seamless, Caviar, Uber has a delivery service actually too. I'm going to pick one and I'm going to personally ruin their business for the next month in New York until they initiate some sort of driver education program.
See, that's the kind of advocacy we need.
Right. Right.
And how are you going to go about ruining their business? Just bad mouthing them on?
I'll just start putting a little bit of. I go after the delivery guys anyways.
Right.
Now I just have to literally I'll tag Grubhub or because you can see who they have a bag on their shoulder.
Right.
So I just got to format it a little bit, get it in my mind, kind of work it out,
and you'll be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, anybody now can if you have a voice on. That's the terrible thing about social media. Nobody's safe.
Right.
Nobody's safe. And you're not going to make sure that they are safe. But for me, somebody has almost been hit at least 3 different times in the last month alone.
Yes.
Walking out here in Hudson. So there's a bike lane there. The Uber driver pulls over to pick me up.
Right.
So I go out there to get there. So the biker is so ticked off
right.
that he comes around the Uber because the Uber's
blocking. And the cars.
And that guy's screaming at me, who's screaming at the driver, who's screaming at other drivers, and people are honking horns and everything else. I mean, we got a legitimate problem.
No, but you know what my cab drivers do if I ever get into a taxi? Right. I say to them, you see that there's that park lane on the other side of the bike lane,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Which is for emergency vehicles. Stop there. Just park the car there, bro. I don't understand why you need to. I don't need to get that close, okay? And it's part of this is on the people, and it's their responsibility to start policing it. Mm-hmm. So you know because you ride a bike.
Right.
Next time you're in your Uber, just tell the guy to stop in the emergency lane.
Right.
That's good.
That's a good point. You know, I will say this though. The next time I see a guy going the wrong way, I'm going to clothesline him.
Right. I think that's
telling
a great.
Right now, that's
I would
that's a
good love way to stop, that. Right? I would love that. And your Instagram
right.
will blow up.
I do have Instagram, but I really don't use it as much as you.
You gotta,
do, but I know
you got to start.
Yours is crazy. Yours,
you got to start.
I live by yours now. How many Instagram followers do you have?
I think this morning I had 150,000, but I mean, 4 weeks ago I had like 30. So.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So why New York to pursue the acting career and not L.A.? I feel like everybody goes to L.A. to pursue.
I think that New York is the hard way.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's a different type of environment and it's a different community. Like okay. there, you hear about the New York acting community. It's like a real thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I just think it's more legitimate. And I think it's, you know. In L.A., it's every pretty person that moves to L.A. to become an actor.
Sure.
It's not easy to do it in New York. You have to be on a bike. You have to be in the subway. It's grimy. It's tough. It's not an easy thing to do.
So the authenticity of it is important to you.
Yeah, I think that I knew that this was going to be one of the hardest things I've ever done, if not the hardest thing. And I think I like to punish myself. There's some secret satisfaction that I get with doing everything the hard way.
What have you been in that you've been proudest of to this point?
I just shot a independent movie that actually Drake is a big turning into a producer now. A movie called Spree with Joe Keighley, the kid from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
You guys watch Stranger
right.
Things?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Is that the guy with the big hair in Stranger Things? Him.
Yeah. Good right. kid, Boston kid.
I kind of see you as a cop, like an SVU.
I go out for
something.
Cops all the time.
And you never get picked or no?
You know, a lot of the... So it's an interesting time in the business. A lot of those smaller roles are now going to minorities, mm-hmm. which I think it's a great thing. Like, we've had this shift, and now the white guy walking into an audition room...
is having a hard time.
It's tough, you know? So I think with me also, we're focusing on... Let's be honest. I have the luxury of time a little bit. Like, I don't need to get a paycheck tomorrow.
Sure.
So that makes a difference. So we're focusing on bigger stuff, and it's going to break at some point.
That was interesting. We do this charity hockey game. We call it it's Mikey Strong. We've had it for 5 years now. And a young man, Mikey Nichols, over in New Jersey, got hurt playing hockey, got thrown into the boards, and is paralyzed and wheelchair bound, and he's been so inspirational. He loves the game of hockey. It's given him so much. He's a huge Ranger fan. So we had the game this year, and we're in the locker room, and I got all my other NHL guys in there, and,
right.
and Mikey comes in and gives like the pregame speech, and I said, Mikey, who is your favorite hockey player? Right? I'm thinking he's going to say, I don't know, Jaromir Jagr, Mario Lemieux, Martin Brodeur, Henrik Lundqvist, whoever, right? Sean Avery. Oh. And you should see, there he is right there. You could see it. And you should see all the guys, all the NHL players.
Oh, I can imagine.
Like, are you kidding me?
I can imagine. Can I call him?
Yes,
sometime?
Yes, you can. Mikey says he patterned his game after the way that you played your game.
I love that.
That he was an edgy player, much like Sean Avery was an edgy player, and he absolutely loves you and thinks the world of you.
Oh, that's awesome. Mikey, expect let's link up here, buddy.
You got we'll it. We'll have a chat. Yes, and I appreciate that, Sean.
No
I appreciate
problem.
You coming in, too, man.
Thanks
Stay
for having me,
guys.
Stay
out of trouble.
I will.
Don't hit anybody on this.
I will. I won't.
I'll use it as evidence against you.
I can't promise you anything.
I'm Sean Avery is the Instagram account. If you want to follow along, I am Sean Avery.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.